Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, he's in the box directly to my left, your right. He is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I'm feeling a little trippy today.
Trippy? Okay.
Yes.
Did you have any shrooms? Did you have some some acid?
No. I'm rewatching Twin Peaks on Netflix for like 10,000 times.
The OG.
Oh, my God. That show, that show was like a marvel.
It's too much.
That writing is just, it's so disjointed and oddball, but I love it. That is like the perfect show that ever was.
It's damn good.
I don't disagree. I don't not believe you, but it's just something I've never had any interest in.
You've never watched it, really?
No.
You gotta check it out.
The third voice you're hearing and the third voice, the third face you're seeing joining us this week is the co-host of Game Stuff Podcast. He is Joe. How are you, Joe?
I'm good, guys. It's a pleasure to finally be on the show. Like,
now, thank you, but you were very upset when the show rebranded to Gamescast over Nintendo Dual Screens.
Well, let me bring
I'm
going
to give you...
We're going to go here already?
We're going. I'm giving you... I am giving you 3 minutes on the clock to get all of that frustration out. Go ahead. And the clock...
Wow.
Three minutes.
Hold on. Yeah, 3 minutes, and the clock starts now.
I mean, I don't know why you changed the show. I mean, it works so well. You guys are amazing at putting Nintendo content out. Why change the show? I can't do this for 3 minutes. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't have that much, like, crap to say.
Well, your 3 minutes was only going to be 30 seconds anyway. Well, I lied to you.
I mean, it's better than the minute of Apex, so...
Well, that is now gone
because I think, Stephen, you forfeited that time for Joe's rant, so that's we're skipping past that this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Also, wait, so hey. I said 30 seconds?
Right.
All right, so he cut 30 seconds into a minute of Apex. I understand. I can still get plenty of words out in 30 seconds.
I'm sure you can.
I so can.
I mean, folks, have you played Contra lately?
Yeah, I mean, that shotgun,
yeah,
my favorite weapon.
Yeah, the spread gun, yeah.
My favorite weapon is the shotgun. For those of you that are new here to Dual Screens Gamescast, this is a show where Andy and I, and sometimes a third wheel, who I may or may not mute in the middle of this conversation, go over the top stories that we decide we want you to know about and what we want to discuss about. So, you know, simple as that. And we like to discuss video games past, present, and future. The show posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com, and records live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams and posts later as a video on demand on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Before we get into the show, boy, Andy, we had another. It was a back-to-back bangers on the Dual Screens podcast, which you obviously all can listen to on this very same channel. Andy, we had a hell of a show.
Yeah, and it's getting a lot of traction on YouTube too, which I am very excited about.
The Germans are going crazy.
Yes, they're going hard for our podcast. We got comments in German on the video.
In German, that I had to use Google Translate to see what the hell I wanted to see if they were trolling us in German. Turns out, no, they were happy about things.
That's great.
Felix Klein, a developer of CrossCode, came on the show. The show is doing really well. That Xbox flame headline usually gets them. The whole Game Pass thing, it usually gets them going, gets the blood going. If you do anything that's fanboyish in any one direction, the show takes off.
When that's all you got, then usually it sparks some conversation.
Number one Gamecast game of all time. Folks, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider giving us a 5-star review. We would appreciate that oh so greatly. And you know what? I'm going to check it right now because it has been a while since I checked. So while I do that, Andy, let me see. Nope, still 55. We're good.
Great.
We're good. We got 55. Hey, 55 reviews is nothing to slouch about. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you want to support us on Patreon, it's very simple to do so. Go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. Just like our two Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support, so we do appreciate it so very much. And for as little as $1, you get a bonus episode every month. You get to vote the topic of that bonus episode. There's tiers for early access to Dual Screens podcasts. You can get all sorts of stuff. And even the Retro Game Club returns as its own podcast on exclusively for our $10 patrons on patreon.com/NDS podcast. So that's a brand new tier for you guys to check out. And now it is time for everybody's future t-shirt. The adventures in gaming. Andy, what you been playing?
So a lot of Ghosts, as you know, but I also play a lot of Carry On. This past
Carry
week.
On. Carry oh on my wayward son.
Oh boy. It combines my two favorite things, pixels and horror.
Yep.
Where could you go wrong? It is a, what they call a reverse horror game. You play as the enemy creature, and you get to eat scientists, and you grow and you evolve and you keep eating and you get more abilities and you keep evolving and people scream bloody murder. And it's everything I ever wanted in a game. Where could
guess of the show.
Yeah. Where could you go wrong? Where could you go wrong with that game? 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Only, the only thing that could go wrong with that game is apparently the Switch tile, the Switch home screen tile that apparently looked like a vagina.
No, see, that's where you're wrong. That's where things go right. Monster vaginas are in.
Monster vajayjays. You hear it here first, folks.
That sounds like a t-shirt right there.
That's it. Monster vagina. Monster vagina, black shirt, white text. Simple as that. Avenged. You in? I know Avenged is in. Yeah. It looks good. I've been watching some people stream it. It looks like a lot of fun. It looks more a lot more puzzly than I was expecting. Like there's a lot of like,
well, listen, killing couldn't take you so far in a game like that. So it's a lot of stealthy moving around the vents a little bit, and but I enjoy it.
Joe, what you been playing?
So I've been playing The Last of Us Remastered, the first one.
Okay.
Because Andy called me out on my show because I've never completed it. So he lit the fire. He lit the fire. And you know what? I'm loving it. I really am. I think I'm at the university now. So I'm about like 75% of the way through the game, I think. And I'm just loving it. I'm loving like searching through all the areas and getting like all the items and crafting everything and just, you know, the story is so gripping, honestly. Like, it's crazy how good that game is.
And somehow he's avoided Last of Us Part 2 spoilers this whole time, Steven.
I've avoided all spoilers for everything my entire life. I just avoid spoilers.
Incredible. That might be your superpower.
I hope it is, because it's a great superpower to have when you don't play games forever. Or when you have ADHD and you play one game and then 2 minutes later you play something else. For those of you who don't know, like I have a lot of games, like a lot. Like I think I have like 340 physical games for PS4. So that's like almost every good game you could have.
Oh my
but
God.
Have I played them all? No, probably played about half of them. There may be some still in the plastic.
I was gonna say.
I don't know.
If some are still in the cling wrap, then you have a problem.
Definitely a problem. Four of them in their cling wrap, but they're remasters. So there's stuff I played on the 360. So I pretty much bought them just to get trophies and like play them again because I like Borderlands. But I was like, am I really gonna play Borderlands 1 again, or is it really just gonna sit on the shelf? It's probably just gonna sit on the shelf to answer that question. I played a lot of Fire Emblem Three Houses because that's the best game on the Switch, hands down. Like, I don't think there's any better game than that. I played Origami King.
Certainly not Breath of the Wild.
No, it's not Breath of the Wild. It's not even the best Zelda game ever of all time. It's not.
Yep.
I'll fight 100%.
This is true.
I mean, it's Link to the Past, but that's an argument for another day.
Also true.
I played Paper Mario and the Origami King.
That game looks a lot of fun. It's something that's on my radar, but I know it'll never go on sale, so I'm like, all right, whatever.
It's a lot of something.
Yeah.
Fun is one of those words.
Yeah.
The battle mechanic's kind of interesting because you do like this puzzle mechanic where you kind of like spin the room around.
And you
line up like all the enemies, and then that's how you do the attacks. So it's very different than like a traditional RPG, which kind of throws people off because they're like, okay, it's Mario RPG. Like, people, do you understand it's not Mario RPG anymore? Like, they don't even put it in the title anymore because they don't want to disappoint people.
It seems more like an adventure game.
It does a very good job being an adventure game.
Like an action adventure game, yeah. I've also been playing Ghosts. I
need to get that.
When I play Ghosts, I can't stop playing Ghosts. Like once I'm in, I'm like, all right, one more thing. I want to go see what this is. I figured out what's clicking with Ghosts. It is Samurai The Witcher 3.
That's what everyone keeps telling me.
Or it's Red Dead, basically, with the samurai also.
Yeah, that's essentially exactly what it is. And for me, Witcher 3 is the game of the generation still.
Really?
And Oh yeah, without a doubt. And Ghost is definitely tickling that itch that but I think they do combat a little better in Ghosts.
A so. Little? That's a whole lot better in Ghosts.
I mean, it's...
No. One is janky and one isn't. That's how you describe it. What it comes down to.
Witcher's not janky. Witcher has a lot of variables.
Listen. It's my only apprehension towards Cyberpunk is that it might not be the best combat mechanic. I mean,
it's a shooter. Sure. Essentially. Fall Guys,
yes. Talk to me.
Fall Guys open beta this weekend. I guess it was like a stress test beta. That's just fucking fun, dude. That is it. That I honestly think that game might make Game of the Year lists on multiple websites. It is so stupid fun, and it runs really well. I think I got kicked out of like one or two matches. Whatever, it's not a big deal. The whole time you're playing, even when you're getting your dick kicked in. The whole time you're playing, you are smiling and laughing the entire time. You watch anybody that was streaming that game, it's nothing but fun. Period. End of discussion. There's no, I wish they did this. It's just like, okay, what's next? Oh, this game looks ridiculous. Oh my God. It's just, it's so much fun.
Question for you. Question.
Yeah. Yeah.
How soon after you lose a game do you start a new game up? Is it like instantaneous or how does that delay work?
So here's what we do. Mm-hmm. I played with two other people. I played with Reaper's Past, who's a streamer on twitch.tv/Reaper's Past, and I played with JD Neal, twitch.tv/JD Neal. So if one of us or both or somebody was eliminated but the other ones were in, I would just spectate them while they were playing. Mm-hmm. But if we all lost, all I have to do is press circle and I'm out, and then I just go into another game. I just press X, yes, no, we're ready for another game. My party readies up and we go in.
Okay, like any other battle royale. You're in a party. Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, we were in a party of three. Mm-hmm. I think it goes up to four. I'm not sure if it goes more than that. All right. I imagine it would, only because like if you want to play with like a million of your friends, you kind of should be able to.
Right.
To get in there with like 25 friends, although you could probably cheese the game. Like, oh, and that was one thing that was happening was people were waiting at the finish line just to fuck people over and like grab them so that they can't get over. But again, when they do it, you're like, oh, you motherfucker. But you're also like, oh, that's fucking hilarious. That's so funny. It's so stupid. It's so funny. And the game, as you know, is going to be coming someplace for free. Hint, hint, wink, wink, that we're going to talk about in our news.
I wonder where.
Oh, it is.
Indeed. And the last game that I played this weekend was Danger Scavenger. I finally got my code for that. And I really enjoyed that game a lot. It's just a simple roguelike game, a twin stick shooter where you're ascending a tower. And you pick whatever door you pick to go up is the enemies that you'll be facing. So like I'll go through the grenades door and then all the enemies throw grenades at me. And then I'll go through the laser door and then it's lasers. And then all of the ones that you pick when you get to the boss at the end, he has all of those weapons here. You know, the robot has all of those weapons. And as you're doing this, you're collecting bits of scrap, which you use to upgrade your items. You're getting items throughout the whole thing. You combine them to augment them to get them, make them more powerful. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. I got up to the second tower, a couple levels into the second tower and died, but I did that on stream too on twitch.tv/badchild if you want to check that out. And of course I played Apex Legends, and let me tell you about that in my now half a minute of
30
Apex.
Seconds.
Go. Half a minute of Apex. Hold on. Let me get my timer out. Half a minute of Apex starting. Now, let me tell you a story. I played with Reaper's Past and Erengard, friend of the show, friend of Batchild. And let me tell you a story. It was Erengard's first ever game of Apex, okay? First ever game of Apex. Reaper's Past never really plays on PS4. And you know what we did? First game, W. Win. Dub. First game, Andy. I tell you, I was lighting people up like it was my fucking job. Like, it was my job to play Apex in that one game. Did we win again for the rest of the night? No, we
didn't. I was going to say, how the rest of the night go?
And that is a minute, is a 30 seconds, a half a minute of Apex. Andy, hit us with the indie news update.
Oh, my God. So, we got today a Kickstarter for a Suikoden successor by the same devs, the same creators.
Yeah, I saw that.
Called Iyuden Chronicle, 100 Heroes. And... oh my God, it smashed its goal in 2 hours.
Take my money.
$500K. It is now over $1 million.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely hit that up because I want that game.
It really makes you think now. I foresee this beating out Bloodstained for the most funded game on Kickstarter. I think about that for a second. You have Bloodstained in this game, which is a Castlevania successor and a Suikoden successor. Both Konami franchises. Wake the fuck up, Konami. What are you doing, Konami?
Pachinko machines. That's the answer. That's the only answer.
Jesus Christ. It's like money on the table.
They don't care about money anymore. They just care about pachinko machines.
Well, like, they make money that way.
Enough. It's kind of insane. It's honestly kind of insane.
Yeah.
But
the thirst is real for these games, which is like, I find it, the fan base is so loyal for these classic Konami games.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great game. It's a great franchise.
Yeah.
Andy, we have breaking news. It was submitted by Mikey Kirsch in the chat.
Yes, I saw that.
Ladies and gentlemen, it looks like Cuphead may be coming to PlayStation 4.
Oh.
It is appearing on international PSN stores right now, but the game's listing does not load when you click it. So this could be a Microsoft published game on the PlayStation 4. I believe it would be the third of its kind. I think. I don't know. I guess I could be wrong on that. But yeah, big news. That's big news. Cuphead, good game. You know, just another reason not to buy an Xbox. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, when you give your games away for free, you know, you have to make money somewhere.
That's right. There you go. That's a way to do it. All right, so let's get into the dual screens report. I'm going to start us off this week because we have just a stupid amount of Nintendo shit going on. The leaks of Nintendo past. IGN has a great article. They're calling it the Nintendo Giga Leak. Everything we know and all the major discoveries. So this is everything that was leaked in these N64 craziness. So their confidential Nintendo code and documentation, now popularly referred to as the Nintendo Giga Leak, have seemingly revealed previously unknown canceled games, prototypes, source code, development tools, internal communication, and so much more. Holy crap. Okay, so what's been found? Super Mario 64 had a two-player mode, and Luigi pretty much created in the code of the game. And if you look that up, it looks incredible. And that would have been awesome. But another one, there was a canceled Pokemon MMO.
Mm.
Okay. Files in the leak suggested that IQEQ, a Chinese support company co-founded by Nintendo, worked on a prototype for a Pokemon game that would be playable by connecting a Game Boy Advance to a PC. Offline, the game would allow players to catch around 30 Pokemon in a game based in the Fire Red and Leaf Green installments. Connecting to the PC and going online would add a, quote, hatch system that used multiple conditions to determine what Pokemon eggs would appear. Feature weather based on the region you were coming from and online battle tournaments based on Pokemon Coliseum's code and more. So they have like this whole IQ presentation that I guess leaked, which is incredible.
What is going on over there?
I don't know.
They're not making games, and their security is also being like this completely torn apart from the inside out.
Well, we know they're making games. They're just not telling us about it.
Right.
Ocarina of Time had early maps, so now this is a discovery that shows that there were unused areas, an early Kokiri Forest, baby skeleton enemies in the alpha or the alpha build of the game. Disk drive expansions for the game were noted in the code.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one. Prototype Yoshi's Island, seemingly at one point titled Super Mario Brothers 5 Yoshi's Island. This playable prototype features different art style UI overworld menu and uses placeholder music, which you could see again all in there. Super Donkey. One of the oddest and most fully fledged discoveries so far is a title called Super Donkey, which is made an early version of Super Mario World 2, the game that would become Yoshi's Island, featuring an unknown character who could be a version of Mario rendered in Yoshi's Island style. Mm-hmm. The game features similar mechanics to what would become Yoshi's Island, but a different set of visual assets. Then there was a prototype of Super Mario Kart, Mario Kart 64, which looks really fucking weird because it looks like Super Mario, but with all the carts look like Super Mario Kart on Super Nintendo, but then the world looks like a really low, like detailed N64 game. Really fucking weird.
So it looks like Sonic Racing. or Sonic R for the Sega Saturn.
kind of.
It looks like Halo Infinite.
Oh.
Canceled Zelda 3, Zelda 2 remake.
Oh, see, man.
I want that now.
That bums me out. Zelda 2 especially is a gem of a game. Oof, that hurts. That one hurts a lot.
Sprite sheets have been discovered for the side-scrolling Zelda to follow Zelda 2. The community has variously speculated that it would have been an original Zelda 3 for the SNES, or it could have been a Zelda 2 remake to be played on the Super Famicom's Satellaview peripheral. Interesting.
Okay.
There's also a Pokemon Diamond and Pearl beta version that was leaked. Pilot Wings prototype, Dragonfly. We've previously heard about Dragonfly, the prototype game that eventually became Flight Simulator Pilot Wings. However, the leaks appear to have surfaced of unseen visuals from the original version, so you can see that. Super Mario World, this Yoshi looks fucking terrifying, if you haven't seen that.
Yeah, it does.
Absolutely
terrifying.
It's like
a nightmares.
It's a nightmare Yoshi.
It's like Pennywise of Yoshis.
They also found an unused sprite of Luigi giving the middle finger in Super Mario World prototype. That's good.
Hello, new avatar.
And that, pull that, and one up. That right there is the pretty much the entire leak.
Oh, lordy, that was a lot.
Go to IGN, give them a click. They compiled that for us, so thank you very much, IGN. But yeah, gentlemen, what do we think about this? Why are there so many leaks?
If this is just like the latest in like a consistent line of leaks for them, this is like first like the Wii document dump we had a few months back. Mm. What is happening?
I don't know.
Do they use the same shit that they use for their Switch Online to manage their security system at their headquarters? Did someone not have the friend code properly? Or they left a little like Splatoon attachment to their phone to
was
get into the system?
That there was no like fruit cups left in the cafeteria.
So they made
leak some documents.
It's all kid friendly when it comes to their console or their security system. It's all just made for kids.
Here's what I think happened. I think Nintendo security is literally a computer screen that somebody watches, and then there's the stuff on one side, and then there's the bad guys on the other side. And when the line gets to cut to the stuff, you have to like hit a button and kill the thing getting to your thing. And then when COVID happened,
like
the guy
defense?
That was doing that went home. Exactly.
It's just
the
guy defense. That.
It's exactly what it is. The guy had to go home because of COVID, so nobody was manning the thing, and somebody just walked right up and was like, it's almost like walking up to a store and the door's open, but it says be back soon, and there's nobody in the store, and you just kind of creep in, and you're like, I want a Pepsi, and you kind of get a Pepsi, and you're just like, I'll leave a dollar,
it's
I
like
guess,
clerk.
Is the cost
it's
of
like,
the Pepsi?
It's like clerks.
Right.
Just leave the money.
Yeah. Take a change from the counter.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's what happened over at the Giga Leak. Andy, hit us up with this next story.
So, folks were so eager to dunk on Sony that it could not handle 4K ultra resolution for Far Cry 6.
60 frames per second, don't forget that.
Of course. But that's not the case, apparently. Evidently, it will support 4K on PS4 Pro and PS5. But the reason why we saw this 4K Ultra HD on Series X and Xbox One X only, that's a weird Microsoft branding marketing term that they own. So that explains that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most powerful console in the world.
It is.
In the whole
hey,
world.
It really is.
In the whole world.
It has, it can, you know.
It can render Mr. Potato Head in stunning 4K in a Halo game.
Render all those free games.
So yeah, that's basically it. I mean, it was confirmed for 4K for PS4 Pro, PSI, and PC, and then more details at a later date. So
yes,
so much for that.
4K Ultra HD 60, whatever the fuck they're calling it, is just a trademark thing that they own.
Right.
So of course, no game on another console is going to have
we'll
that.
Offer that.
It's a all rights reserved TM bullshit.
Right.
Here's a little quick story here. From Kotaku, this Call of Duty's Warzone teasers hint at map changes. This was actually really cool. So some bigger streamers got a video from Activision, and then the video was surveillance footage of inside of the stadium in Call of Duty Warzone, And then all of a sudden there's some interference, and then there's a big explosion and the screen goes white and then it loses connection. So there's rumors going around, obviously, that that means that the stadium is getting destroyed in some way for the new Warzone map, which would be pretty cool. It definitely needs a change, I would say, because that's one of the things, one of the criticisms that in the four seasons of Call of Duty, they haven't really changed the map very much.
And that many seasons so, already?
Yeah. Yeah, their seasons are shorter than Apex. But yeah, so we have that. So look forward to that, Warzone players. Andy, what's our next story?
Oh my god, this one got me so wet, you guys. this was the wettest news of the week. So apparently, Kojima is talking to horror manga artist Junji Ito about a new horror game. Again. So when asked at Comic-Con at home about working on the video games, Junji Ito said this: "I do know director Kojima, and we have been in conversation that he may have a horror-based game that he may be doing. And so he has invited me to work on that. But there are no details on it yet. Please, dear God, let this happen. I need this. After Silent Hills died a horrible death many years ago."
Rest in peace. F's in the chat, folks. For real. Silent Hills.
"This sounds like the perfect marriage. You have just like the most creative mind when it comes to horror and a self-admitted scaredy pants in Kojima. And when you have those things together, that's a beautiful thing." Because I think he wants to be terrified, Kojima. He likes the fear. He gave us PT, one of the best non-horror like games ever created on the PS4. So let's redeem that situation and let this be true.
So Kojima does horror even when he's not doing horror. When we posted the Death Stranding episode with Die Hardman in Reddit, there was a huge like reply thread about how Kojima just does horror, you know, or pays homage to horror
right. In
all of his games, like all of the Metal Gear games, just basically right. Anything.
He has a roundabout way of having little horror, like little like references here and there, but a full-on horror game from him, after seeing what PT is, I think the world will be a lot better place with that game.
He likes to scare people. Joe, what are your thoughts?
I mean, if Kojima's making a horror game, I'm there. I mean, it can't be any more horrifying than UPS Simulator 2019. I mean, that thing was horrifying. I mean, it's horrifying to carry boxes across, you know, across landscape, across nothing.
Across Iceland, Norway.
In the rain.
Hey,
the only game that has better rain effects is Breath of the Wild. No doubt. Mm. Like, that rain looks beautiful. But, no, for real, I would want to see Kojima, like, resurrect Dead Space. Like, if anybody could do it, Kojima could do it. And I think it would be amazing.
That would be too fucked up to imagine.
Yeah, the world can't handle a Dead Space 4. It just can't.
If you have, like, Ito's monster designs, then I think we're all just fucked. It's like a never-ending nightmare. It's a carnival of scares.
What if you just pretend Dead Space 3 never happened?
We could do that.
And he just makes Dead Space 3.
I mean, the rail shooter was better than Dead Space 3.
That is not a lie.
On the Wii.
100% correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. That is 100% correct.
That says something.
Fall Guys is coming to PS Plus. That is the illusion. We alluded to this earlier. Fall Guys is coming to PS Plus, which, of course, is huge news for Fall Guys in general, because this is very reminiscent of the whole Rocket League deal, and we actually have a question, I believe, in our mailbag regarding this. Hmm. So this is from Mikey Kirsch. How big of a deal is it that Fall Guys is the next PS Plus game? Do you think we'll have another Rocket League on our hands? I think yes, because playing the beta of Fall Guys, there's a lot of things that you can spend money on. There's a lot of cosmetic stuff that's a lot of fun. There's no like gameplay advantage or anything like that. It's just kind of like bragging. Like, look at the color I can make my little bean character, or the design I could put on him, or the mask or the gloves or whatever. And I think they could continue to add to that. So having this game as a free PS Plus game will get those people in the ecosystem really, really early. And we know how these free to play games, we know how Rocket League did. We know how you know, games like, or games of service games do, where they have those microtransactions, because they do. They do millions and millions of dollars. So I think this is a huge thing for them. And it would have been if they were also either on Game Pass or a free, even free on Epic or whatever. But I think PS4, where the player base is the largest, is the smartest play for them, in my opinion.
And they announced crossplay too for this, yep. Correct?
I believe so. I believe it is crossplay. Yes.
I need this in my life.
I still need to verify that.
It's a good deal, though. I mean, to get a game that's that fresh and to have it on, to have Sony get that win is kind of good for them. Like, they need something when they keep giving you games like Erica every month for free.
I don't even think of this. Like, yes, of course, it's a win for Sony and for PlayStation, but like, I think it's a much bigger win for Fall Guys.
100%. It's going to get the exposure out there.
Yeah, like the opportunity. Like, if I were Fall Guys, I would have paid Sony to make us a PS Plus game. I would have been like, here's like $100,000. Can we be a Plus game? But please. No, they actually got paid to do this. So,
I mean, after Rocket League, wouldn't you think more people would have went to Sony and been like, hey, can we be a Plus game? Like, can we do that?
Yeah, like games that retail for $15, $20, $25, like, being free on a platform can, you know, if you're supporting your game with microtransactions, can make or break a franchise easily. And I truly believe Fall Guys is the next big multiplayer, like the game people are going to be streaming. That it's going to be,
dude. It's like,
I just think it's great.
It's like the best parts of Mario Party.
Yeah, and there are games that are ripped directly from Mario Party.
Right, but it's on a much like grander scale. It's 100 people battle royale essentially.
There are, it's, well, it's 60, but yeah, oh, there are,
it's like Mario Party on crack.
It's,
there was hate your neighborhood, and just, instead of just hating your friends, like sitting in your
exactly. I mean, there's the door game from Maximum Elimination Challenge, where you're all running towards doors and only like a couple of them open.
Oh, that's amazing.
There's that. There's the one from Mario Party that was the most egregious, was the floor tiles that have a pattern on it, and then like, you'll have to memorize the patterns or where they are, and then a picture will come up and you have to go to that tile and all the other ones will fall.
Steven.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest on the show right now.
Okay.
I believe most of the game stuff folks have a PS4.
Kalai won't play a
Kalai doesn't
game.
Play PlayStation.
That little harlot. All right. So listen, me, you, Corey, and Joe, we're gonna party up. We'll do a little game stuff X dual screens. Fall Guys.
Let's do it.
Party up.
Let's do it.
I think that's a cool. That's a great idea.
Party up. Oh yeah.
Well, Andy, it's time to get into the topic that you were just so goddamn excited for.
Woo!
So this excited one. For.
Guys, you guys. Okay.
Take the lead, handsome.
You guys. So, this Microsoft Xbox game showcase thing. Let me just preface. I was actually. You can make all the fart sounds you want. I was looking forward to this for a few reasons. One, you have Sony's conference, which was phenomenal. It broke live stream records when it came to gaming, and they set the standard. Plus, you had Microsoft's fumble with their partner, their third-party gameplay, quote-unquote, reveal. So you thought, okay, this is it. This is the one. This is the one. We're going to see Halo. We're going to see Forza. We're going to see Fable, because that was all out there. I mean, who are we kidding at this point? And other fun shit. Then Halo happens. And I got to say, off the bat, it lost me almost immediately. Like, whatever hype I had, it fell away within moments. How is this game? How do you call this next gen?
Now, to preface this,
sure,
Andy and I both did not watch it live, so I don't want to hear the "you weren't watching it in 4K" shit, because Andy and I watched everything later. Mm-hmm. In its, at least I can speak for myself. Well, but I know Andy did not watch it live.
I watched it later. Well.
I did watch it live.
Okay,
you were asleep while I was watching it.
I watched it later when it was in 4K, and it still did not help the situation.
So a few points I want to mention, because I don't want to dwell on Halo for too long, but it is kind of like the crux of what's wrong with Microsoft's marketing. And just, they have like a Trumpian tactic of they're the best at this, the most powerful. It's all a lot of bullshit talk, I feel. It showed now more than ever. A few takeaways. $500 million in 5 years of development.
What?
And this is what a next-gen game looks like.
Xbox 360?
For Microsoft standards. You have Phil Spencer saying that he, quote-unquote, felt good about their lineup after watching Sony's conference. You have Aaron Greenberg, who just can't shut up about anything. We got the best this, the best that, and you hear we've convinced people that teraflops matter when they don't at all. In all
Apparently
honesty.
Not. If your game looks like a 360 game.
If you don't have any talent to back up your games, why does it look so janky? And there was pop-ins happening.
It's bad.
There was no detail. And then we got the grunt meme, the best meme of the year.
In a year of memes.
Dude, this is like, no joke, this is like that guy. No, I'm going a little bit of a gay analogy here. This is like that guy who sexts you a good game. His sexting game is pretty strong. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. Oh, I'm so good at this. Then when it comes down to it, he goes like completely flaccid. But then Sony is like, there's no talk. And then when it comes time to actually do the dirty, you're having a great time. And then they say, hey, choke me a little.
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
So that's what it feels like. No joke. I don't get it.
For me, it was like, what it felt like was that they're saying that things are more than what they are. Because their goals are to make them more than what they are. Because even what they were showing, and this is the best fucking part, it said it was running on a PC with Series X, specifications in mind or some shit like right. that. Oh, representative.
They use that key term in the third party gameplay reveal. Gameplay.
Yeah. Your system is coming out in like 4 months.
Why?
This game is coming out in 4 months.
Why?
And you're showing something running on a PC representative of a console that you're trying to sell. Now, here's the opposite thing. What this conference did, what this video did, at least for me, was said, if you are a gamer, like a hardcore gamer, and you're in many ecosystems, you have whatever, Game Pass is a must. No matter what, whether or not you have an Xbox, if you have a PC that can run any sort of fucking video games, Game Pass is an absolute must. You're an idiot if you don't have it. What this thing didn't do was convince me that I need to buy an Xbox in spite of having a PC that can do it. I still stand by the fact that there are going to be people who spending $500 to $600 on a console is way easier for them than buying a $1,000 to $1,500 PC to play Xbox games. So in that sense, you can be convincing when you say, hey, Game Pass. Now, other conversations that I've been having, I have Disney Plus, I have HBO, I have Netflix, I have Amazon Prime, I'm subscribed to Streamlabs. I'm subscribed to like 9 different things.
Life is a subscription at this point.
Including Game Pass. Now, there are going to be a lot of people that are like me where $15 is going to be cost prohibitive, especially when they only buy a system to play Call of Duty, Madden, and NBA 2K.
Bro gamers? Yo, bro gamers, they're not paying for Game Pass.
Right, exactly.
What are your main takeaways from this, Joe? I'm anxious to hear.
Well, I'm not buying an Xbox. I already know that. Like, you just sold me on not buying one. Like, you did the absolute inverse of what they set out to do.
I think they sold more PS5s in this than they did Xbox Series X.
Dude, they were like, hey, go play Nintendo Switch because it has exclusives that are actually exclusive. Like, not a single one of your games is technically an exclusive for your home console. So why buy the home console? It's like Steven said, like, you should just buy a PC and get Game Pass. And then did you see the one game in there where it was like, it's not on Game Pass after he literally said every single game is on Game Pass?
Which game was this?
Oh, I can't remember, but it was one specific game, and it said is not available day one on Game Pass. If anybody knows in the chat, let me know, because it was one of them, and it was like, it was literally in there, and I was like, are you kidding me? Why would you put that in there if you already said all the games are coming out day one on Game Pass. I just think it's a drop the ball moment for them. It's like it's the here's how you share or here's how you share games all over again.
Oh my God!
Did you ever see Muppets Muppets Most Wanted, the last Muppets movie that came out like a few years ago?
Yeah, I saw it in the movie theater because I loved the first one.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge Muppets fan. Huge.
I love the Muppets too. So what this conference was when Constantine says he doesn't need to watch the Kermit videos because he knows how to do Kermit. How hard could it be? And then the curtain comes up and he just freezes. That's what Microsoft is like. It's like, here's what we got to do. We got to nail this. We got to nail this. We got to nail that. And then we'll do that. And then curtain comes up and they're like, diarrhea poop. And we're like, oh my God, what the fuck just happened? Yeah. So here's the thing. Here's another thing that they fucked up on this whole thing.
It's numerous things they fucked up.
They have been saying over and over again that for at least the first year and a half, 18 months, or even 2 years, everything is going to be on Xbox One and Xbox Series X. It's going to be two generations. Six games that they showed on this conference are only on the Series X, which means they're at least not coming until 2022.
But Steven,
hey, man, that's great marketing.
We don't want to exclude people.
Why? Why say one thing,
dude,
if you are going to do another thing, even though they're technically not really lying because they could be like, no, these are games that are 2 years out. So, yeah, why show that now? Why not say, hey,
dude,
we're going to show you a Series X future look down. This is a Series X exclusive look.
So they should have prefaced it and it would have made it any better? Is that your thing?
Yeah, I think that if they said, hey, oh, also, only on Series X, coming in 2022 or later, we have Forza and fucking Fable. And,
yeah,
you know,
Forza
whatever.
Especially. It's like, it's only in early development. And can we talk about the Hellblade bullshit that we got?
I don't.
Hellblade, you plugged a YouTube channel for Hellblade. Why in God's green earth are you just fucking plugging a YouTube channel and not showing any gameplay?
Because Microsoft is good at doing everything but showing gameplay.
Why am I getting Jack Black for 2 minutes singing?
I don't know. That was great. I love Jack Black.
Yeah,
I
understand.
Him sing for two
yes,
minutes.
I get it. Yes, he's fine. Totally fine. But I could have had some Hellblade gameplay in those 2 minutes. Like, is the game that far along? Like, also, have we seen a game on a Series X? Have we?
Not an actual game.
Have we seen it? But that was running on a PC though.
PC.
Have we seen the game running off of a Series X?
Well, my thing is a Series X just a PC, like a low grade PC? Because that's what they seem like they're doing. They're going full in on this. Like, we're on everything. Like, we're just a publishing studio at this point. Like, we're making games, but I'll shout out to Corey real quick. Like, he made a good point on our show that, like, Microsoft really doesn't own the rights to any of their studio's games. They don't own the studio. They own the right to the game, but they don't really own the studio. So, like, the studio can release their games on any systems they want because they're not exclusive to Microsoft.
Like,
I don't know if that's true. I'm not 100% sure that's true because they bought. So what wound up happening, especially in the case of, like, the Outer Worlds and all that stuff, is any games that they were working on prior to being acquired from Microsoft, those IP, for example, Outer Worlds is multi-platform because that was planning to be multi-platform.
So Outer Worlds 2 will only be on Xbox Series X.
Only on Xbox and PC.
But not every single studio do they have the same deal with, is what I'm saying.
I would imagine they would, unless they are just partnerships. I would imagine, like, any acquisitions that are part of the Microsoft initiative or whatever they're calling that
Whatever, is that
what it's called? An initiative?
I think it's initiative. Yeah,
all of that I believe those are Microsoft owned studios. But the thing that Microsoft's not afraid to do, as we know now, with Cuphead and all that stuff, is they're not afraid to put their stuff on other things, which is fine.
You're not going to get, and again,
this is. I am all for Microsoft being a publisher. Like, great, make games, put games out. Microsoft has never convinced me to buy an Xbox One or now a Series X. That is the only thing they haven't been able to do is sell me on their hardware. So that's okay. You don't have to. You don't. Right. If you're making good games, which is debatable, but if you're making good games, like, yeah, I'll play them. Absolutely, I'll play them. Like, Obsidian, I think, is the best acquisition they have made, period, full stop.
100%. I mean, yeah. I think they took away from their Game Pass, too, because remember, the old way Game Pass worked is that all the Game Pass games were not available on PC. But going forward with, like, the xCloud and all that, all of the console games will now be available to play on PC. Before, you had to have a console to play the console-exclusive games. Going forward, you no longer have to.
Yeah.
It will all be on a PC. So, like, honestly, what is the reason to buy an Xbox?
Like I've been saying, it's only because it's going to be cheaper than PC. That's the only thing. It's like,
Steven,
a 14, 15-year-old kid can ask for an Xbox for Christmas. They can't ask for a $1,500
right,
PC.
But if you have a low-grade PC at home, you can use xCloud to stream those games with Game Pass.
You still have to be. I think it's only the games you own, though. Well, I think it's only the games you own.
Right.
It's the games you own and whatever they put on the cloud as like a game you can stream. So it's not like you're in the clear as well. Work more like a Stadia than
that. That's
else.
The question. If I have Game Pass and the game is on Game Pass, I can play it on xCloud. Correct.
Correct.
Sure.
And then they're also.
Right, so I can play on my shitty PC, and it'll stream beautifully, because that's what they're promising.
It might stream beautifully, we don't know. It might crash your PC for all
sure, we don't know, but...
Yeah, we don't know how that's going to work on...
We've seen tests on, like, low-end PCs showing, like, Odyssey or other great games, like, on the xCloud. It's a really good platform. So I'm saying, if you cut out the high-end PC necessity, and also a Series X... You can have like your laptop and xCloud and Game Pass, and you're pretty much set.
Do like a Steam box, and you're good to go.
There you go.
Here's another thing that they fucking walked back and blatantly lied about. do you remember when Phil Spencer? Do you remember when Phil Spencer was like, timed exclusives are ugly. It's an ugly part of the business. We hate it.
Mm-hmm.
It should go away. The show
make more time exclusives.
Hold on. Yeah. Away from Microsoft's own studios, a new multiplayer offering from Tetris Effect was confirmed as an Xbox timed exclusive.
Dude, a whole bunch of them were timed exclusives.
It's only DLC, though, for Tetris Effect, sure. which we already have. So,
and that's like the perfect meme right there. Microsoft comes in and makes it a multiplayer.
Uh-oh.
Makes it multiplayer. That's all it can do.
You got Tetris multiplayer. That's your takeaway from this entire conference.
State of Decay 3. Okay, great. That's being...
No, because you know why, Steven?
No gameplay.
CGI trailers up the ass with this fucking...
Exactly.
Okay, but we know it's coming. At least we know it's a thing.
Yeah, but that's how you undercut the entire... The magic of it. When
you know what else we knew was coming? Scalebound. We also knew Scalebound was coming. But the biggest one for me, obviously Fable is a big thing, but the really biggest thing for me is Avowed, Obsidian's first person role playing game that's going to be their Skyrim killer thing. Which I'm all for it. You know, bring it on, great, awesome.
Also Destiny on Game Pass was a big thing too. That was a big deal. The DLC. Weird.
I like how he came back and announced it. Like he had to come out and announce that. He was like, oh yeah, and we got Destiny and all the DLC coming to Game Pass, because you know you all don't already own it on everything else.
So don't play Halo, just play Destiny instead, apparently.
So Destiny 2 is free to play.
Probably run better.
But not with the DLC. So it is, I guess, a cool thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, what the biggest takeaway from this was, in my opinion, is that they dropped the ball when it comes to
again
telling you why you need a Series X. But they did, in my opinion, a good job at saying, "Give us $15 a month."
Right. Listen,
Game Pass now with xCloud is a no-brainer if you have a piece of hardware that can run any of it.
Listen, I think this was a great ad. For Game Pass, and a better ad for the PS5. This did not jump out and say next gen to me. Nothing looked like it was future or forward thinking. Like Halo was stuck in the past. Like I understand, it's It looks a little bit better than the Xbox One version of the game. But when you're on that same old Warthog with the same old turrets, it's like, it's the same old shit. And also, it's not even a true open world game. So they walk that back. And it's not going to be in 4K Ultra HD either. It's going to be dynamic 4K.
And they're kind of limiting themselves with what they're doing with this whole, like, it's got to be on everything. It's got to be on Xbox One for, like, the next 2 years. Like, is this limiting all the launch titles?
I think Infinite was never supposed to be a Series X thing. I think Infinite was supposed to be out already, to be honest with you. I think it wasn't until the, you know, resounding thud of the Xbox One that they decided, you know what, let's kick the can down the road a little bit. Let's launch the next thing with the next Halo instead of almost, they're doing a Breath of the Wild. Instead of letting Breath of the Wild die on the Wii U, they said, hold it, hold on.
So is the Series X a Wii U? I mean, is the Xbox One the Wii U?
It's worse.
Series X the Switch?
It's worse.
Yes.
No.
That's exactly what I think it is.
Because the Series X is won't be as successful as the Switch is going to be. Well, no way. It will sell.
No, because it's not going to be as cheap and it doesn't have anything exclusive. But yes.
The analogy's there.
The analogy is, yes, right. That's exactly what it is. That's what I think. I think it was, instead of it being the swan song for this Xbox One, they said, you know what, let's make it prettier, let's make it 4K, let's make it crazy, you know, whatever, let's put it out on the Series X, and of course, I think they also mentioned that some features are going to be coming later on that are exclusive to Series X as well through Halo. I could be wrong on that.
Like a ray tracing,
Ray tracing. That's what it was. That's what it was, yes.
Ray trace your shitty graphics.
We're gonna patch for ray tracing.
We're gonna put so many good lighting so you could see this fucking potato of a brute that we have.
Here's the thing. All I was hearing was that the game looked fine. It looked fine. Fine doesn't cut it when you're saying you have the most powerful system, when you're boasting your teraflops, when you're talking about 4K, 60 FPS, and you're just locked in on this one part of it, on power. And showcasing that, and the game looks worse than the Xbox 360 game.
You can't say that.
No,
that's not
true. Dude,
that's not true.
There was a legit double take. I was like, what am I looking at?
Yeah,
I like the art. I like the art style. I think that they went a little bit more. They went more colorful with
That's just your damage control.
No, I like it.
No,
I like that.
So we got, what was it? It was an old build. We heard that excuse. An old build. It's COVID. It's the art style. Fans want this art style. It's going to get better.
Well, did you see the rumor? It's a platform. It's a platform. So it's not, it's not a single player campaign. It's a platform.
We're getting 10 years of Halo Infinite.
Yeah, it's 10 years. And that's why it's called Infinite. So it's 10 years of garbage is what you're telling me.
Incredible.
I just feel like it's inexcusable for what you're talking about when it comes to your system. If you're going to talk a big game, you got to show a big game. And this fell so flat.
Andy?
Yes.
May I take the hype zone?
You know, I put it there just for you.
Okay.
And also,
let me tell you a story.
And also for Joe.
Let me tell you a story.
Okay.
Baseball is back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Baseball is back. And it's going to be shut down very soon because four teams are not playing right now because of an outbreak.
I give it 13 days. It'll be shut down.
August 4th was my date. Anyway, so it is game 3, I think. It might have been game 3 or game 2 of the season. I think it was game 2. My father is in the backyard, and what he likes to do in the summer when baseball's on, and obviously we haven't had baseball, he puts a tiny little 23-inch 720p TV in the backyard under his gazebo so he could watch the baseball games. He's very cute. He's retired now, so he's very bored.
It's a great idea.
So he's got the thing and, you know, whatever, and I'm in the house because fuck the outside at this point. I'm in the house and I'm watching the Cubs and Milwaukee Brewers game on Fox. And my father comes in and he says, "Do you see this? I can't believe it. They have people in the crowd. They allowed people in the crowd." I'm like, "Dad, no, they didn't."
Oh, man.
Like, "Yeah, they did. There's people in the crowd." Like,
oh, Mr. Fontana.
So now I'm paying attention and I'm looking. And I don't see people in the crowd. I'm like, "There's nobody in the crowd." Then it cuts to a very specific angle in which PS three graphic level crowd people were put in the stands of this game on Fox.
Also, like WWE, like WWE 2K20 crowd members.
Yeah, it was like the worst rendering of it. But it, I mean, if you're not paying attention and you just kind of look up real quick, it looks like people. Anyway, so I went in the backyard and I was like, really? Come in here. He comes in the house and I show him and I pause it and he goes, I swear on that little TV, it looks like real people. Anyway, that is our hype zone because Fox Sports is using virtual fans created in Unreal Engine to fill empty stadiums in MLB broadcasts. Yeah.
I mean,
all 30 teams are relaying on a fake noise.
Yeah, and a now, fake crowd noise from the video game. It's all actually from the video game.
MLB The Show.
Yeah, all the crowd noise is from the video game. I believe the announcing is all done through the video game as well, like all the player announcements.
It's incredible.
This is why we have technology. This is next gen right here. Forget about specs and teraflops and what games are coming out. Can I use this tech to fill in fake people in an audience?
So I have to say, Steve, I'm really mad that the season started only because the Mets simulated season was going so well and they were crushing everybody.
Did you know they're lying to you, Joe? Did you know that they're fucking lying to us? They already simulated the games and cherry pick which ones they stream.
Are you serious?
The whole playoffs was a lie, Joe.
Oh man, I'm angry.
They accidentally played the championship series in one of the games for the divisional series, and then they shut it down and put the right.
Wait,
game
they
up,
aired
and
it. Then, by
yes, yes, and then they put the game back, and somebody in the chat was like, first pitch home run, watch. And then it was a first pitch home run. It was like, yeah, they accidentally played this game a couple days ago.
Oh, man. That's
it was all a lie.
Up.
You were just lied to nonstop this week, weren't you?
But they won the World Series, so don't worry about it.
That's cool. I mean, I enjoyed when they had, you know, Ron Keith and
Gary Keith and Ron.
Yeah, Gary Keith and Ron on the game. And they actually, like, yeah, did the commentary. It was great. And they were loving it. Like, when they did that, like, whole week span where they did every game, they were loving it. Like, at first, they were a little weirded out because they were like, oh, man, modern technology. But then they were like, wow, this game is pretty impressive. Short story, I bought the game this year. I don't know. Did you get it this year, Steve?
No,
it's
I did not.
Actually
I haven't
really
purchased,
good this year.
I haven't purchased an MLB game in, like, 4 years, mostly because I can't dedicate myself to play a game every day.
You don't have to anymore.
And I really should.
So you don't have to anymore.
Then why buy it?
So they have the March to October mode now. Yeah. So, like, you key in on certain moments in the game, and you play those certain moments in, like, player lock, or you take over the game in the seventh inning, and you're either winning or losing, and you have to come back, or you have to hold the lead. It's actually pretty cool. So I played, like, half a season in, like, a day and a half.
Well, when that game is $15 or free on PS Plus next year, I guess.
It's $30 right now.
Peter S., Farmer Pete has a question for us in our mailbag.
Oh, yes.
What would you like to see done differently in the newly announced Fable game that you think would make it better than the old ones?
Oh, that's easy.
What's that?
You do three simple things. Okay. You don't make it like Fable 3. You make it like Fable 2. Mm-hmm. And you don't have any online component to it whatsoever. Make it a strictly single-player game.
Well, that's not going
to
happen.
That's all you have to do. You ain't gonna reinvent the wheel. Let's look at part two. It did it great. Do it better. Don't make it online only. Don't make it an MMO.
Well, that's the rumor, so.
And forget Fable 3 ever existed.
I don't know if that rumor is gonna be true.
I think it is. I think it is.
I don't know. That's...
They look like they're going, like, platform with every single one of their, like, their core games. It's upsetting, but that seems to be the way the industry is going, too. Everything's gotta be a platform. Everything's gotta have legs and not just be one game that you pay
and
$60
as we know,
for.
Ghost of Tsushima sold 2.5 million in 3 days.
That's a Sony game.
You don't
game.
Need to make it. You don't need to make anything a platform.
I agree.
Good fucking game.
I agree.
God of War, Spider Man, Last of Us 2, and then you got Ghost of Tsushima.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
There you go. I
get that.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. They don't have to be platforms, but, like, everybody's on this platform kick.
Why does Ghost of Tsushima look so good? That's from Mikey Kirsch.
It's beautiful.
It's a Sony game. That's why
wow.
It looks so good.
Next question.
Cares.
There you go.
It's a pedigree. It's a talent. That's what that
see.
Is.
Which of the many, this is from Buzz Killington, our resident Xbox fanboy. Which of the many fantastic Game Pass games announced recently are you most looking forward to?
The Medium.
Yeah, that game looks sick.
Which will be in 4K, 30 FPS. Not 60. Confirmed 30 FPS.
Really?
I honestly don't know which ones are coming. I lost.
So the Medium was definitely the one that stood out to me as well. It kind of made me think of like, hey, maybe when this thing's like $150, I'll get one and I'll play the Medium. So in like 8 years, see you in 8 years, Medium.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, now I want to kick it to the chat. Chat, let us know if you have any questions for the show. Just drop it in the chat. And while you're doing that, I'm going to tell people where they could find this on all sorts of the internet. If you want to follow the show on Twitter or Instagram, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at Batchout27 and Andy is at Pants Guy. And if you want to join our Facebook group, it's facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. If you want to follow our Twitch channel, it's twitch.tv/dual screen streams, and our YouTube is youtube.com/dual screens TV. We want to send a very special thank you to Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our logo and overlay, and thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our cartoon art that you do. And if you want to follow Andrew, he's at Angimoto, A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. And if you have any emails you want to send the show, it's at feedback@ndspodcast.com, which Andy, EC Peoples, friend of the show, said that he wanted to ask us a question.
Oh.
After the Xbox thing. So I don't know if you've checked the feedback email address, but if you want to check that real quick, see if he sent it. He may have, he may not have, it doesn't matter. Joe, where could everybody find you, game stuff, and all that fun stuff?
So you can find me on Twitter and PlayStation at MrTMNT84. That's capital M, lowercase r, period, T, capital T, MNT 84. That's on PlayStation and Twitter. You can find me and my podcast that I co-host with Kalai, Corey, and Roberto. We're called the Game Stuff Podcast. We are on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcast, and you can check us out on Facebook at, you know, you can just type in Game Stuff Podcast and we'll pop right up. It's, if you see our logo, it's like a, as Corey likes to describe it, it's a fruit bowl with a bunch of controllers in it. And it's basically just a knockoff of the Game Stuff, the GameStop logo, because that's kind of how I designed it. But
it's perfect. Perfect. All right, chat, you have nothing for us, so we are going to move on to the very end of the show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, listeners, for listening. If you want to buy our merchandise, it's dualscreens.com/store. And again, if you want to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/NDS Podcast. Thanks again to our Patreon producers, FNH Paul, and of course, Colton the Apprentice Nestler. Andy? Is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
Yeah, I do want to say we're up to 39 patrons now.
Damn.
Who shall be lucky number 40?
Who's going to do it?
Who there in the chat is brave enough?
Who is in the chat? Let's see.
To give us that $1.
And I might just do.
And put us in the $40, in the 40 patron category. who's gonna break that threshold for us?
I know somebody will.
The cojones? I challenge you.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Andy. Joe, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure doing the show with you. Appreciate you very much.
Dude, thank you guys for having me on. It was a pleasure. Like, seriously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime. And listeners, go check out Game Stuff Podcast. Avenge's ears popped up. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We love you. And as always, please be excellent to each other.